The FPL Experiment podcast is back. I thought that we had a problem because we only have one fit player. So we thought that we might have to postpone this one. But Greg and Nick, they haven't been much to look at for over 10 years. So I will carry that burden. Topical dad joke to start the show. There are three of us. We have one FPL team. The target to finish in the top 10K. Let's make some plans for game week 22. Nick, has 2022 been full of joy? Because that's what you said you wanted it to be.
Yeah, it has been joyous. And I haven't stopped drinking how I had hoped. That's contributed to the joy. The more I drink, the more joyous I become.
Has there been a drink of 2022?
Whiskey so far. So straight in for the
just keeping it light.
Sturdy stuff.
Just keeping it light.
What's your whiskey of choice? Are you gone for a peaty one? Are you more like Japanese, like smooth?
I've gone for a Glenconicky. It's quite an easy drinker. I'm not a fan of the peaty ones. I just find that the smoke is a bit too overwhelming. But that's actually really nice. And I just have like a basic one that's in the decanter, you know, like a Jura, like just like, you know, if I fancy a little sip, but nothing too fancy. So yeah, I don't drink it every day, but it's a treat at the weekend.
Do you think it's doing wonders for your broadcast voice? Do you think you sound more manly?
Yeah, I might take up smoking just to really like take it to the next level.
Yep, good advice for anybody wanting to get into a podcast from Nick. Love it. Greg, I've blown everybody's mind. I think that's the first time ever on the podcast I've gone to Nick first. I'm just shaking it up, man.
I thought I'm like in some sort of weird twilight zone there. I was all prepared to, I can't ad lib, so God knows what I was going to do, but it's thrown me.
Do you know what? Last time you were massively thrown. And you didn't know when I asked you what 2022 was going to be filled with. 10 days in, give us a breakdown. Top three things going on for Greg in 2022.
Top three things. I thought I was pretty much an elite athlete. Turns out I'm quite an old middle-aged man who's got dodgy knees. So my running's not going too well. What a revelation. That's number one. Number two...
Oh no.
You need three things. If you say three things, you need to have three things.
Oh, I'm really getting back into cooking again. The missus and I are really going, yeah, that's been good. Oh, and number three, I am useless with a sat nav.
Yeah, they are really tough, aren't they, sat navs?
Well, no, do you know what? The wife and I, we're meant to go meet some of our friends on Sunday at a beautiful place called Whistley Gardens down in Wokingham. Beautiful. You ever been there? If you've not been there, go there. Put it in the old sat nav, rushing out the door as you do with a little one. You're always like 5 minutes too late. So just typed it in my phone, Whistley Gardens. I said to Jo, is it about half an hour away? She's like, yeah, that's fine. Put it in the sat nav. 5 minutes from where we're nearly meant to be there. She's like, you sure we're going to the right way? I was like, yeah, look, 5 minutes away. Look, it says just around a few corners up here. So a couple of minutes later, I'm in some bloody new build housing estate going on a street called Whistley Gardens. I've only gone down to Farnborough when I'm meant to be in Woking, so another 30 minutes away from where we're meant to be. So safe to say I was persona non grata on Sunday morning trying to find the Whistley Gardens.
You live a charmed life, don't you, Greg?
Yeah.
Which one did you choose to go to? Did you get the other people to come to you or did you go to them?
Yeah, we all played Kirby for 5 hours.
I said last night on our WhatsApp group, look, we need to come to this podcast with a clear idea. Are we going to free hit in game week 22 or not? Nick, do you know where your head's at? Do you know what you're going to do?
Yeah.
Where's your head at?
I didn't until today. And obviously it's an ever-evolving picture day to day. But right now, I think I have a good plan. Yeah.
Greg, have you got your plan sorted?
Oh, I'm fully there, mate.
Good.
Can't change me off this course now. Done. Decided. This lady's not for turning.
I was so undecided that maybe about 2 hours ago, I decided that I needed to go for a walk to clear my head and to get a good idea of what, you know, we were going to do. And on that walk, I had a moment of clarity where I realized this is just FPL. Why am I taking this so seriously? Why do I need to go for a walk to clear my head? Sort yourself out, boy. But yeah, I think I've got a good idea. I think I know where we're going. So we'll dive into all the usual stuff today. We'll go through game week picks. We'll have a chat about transfers and captains and all of that sort of stuff. What we do know is that the Leicester-Everton game for game week 21 is off. So really pleased that we brought in Gray and DCL. That was wonderful. We've still got Soufal, Bowen as captain and Antonio still to play. And do you know what? A lot of people have been moaning on Twitter And it's just generally a good idea sometimes not to read FPL Twitter, because I was quite positive about football after the weekend, because the FA Cup, especially on Saturday, was next level.
Magical.
Loved it. Any highlights? Did you see any? Were you like, oh, I love that? Because for me, it was like a take back. The FA Cup third round, as Oxford and my home club, you know, that's like a real take back to, we used to go to the games when Oxford played someone decent in the third round. It took me right back to childhood. Always does.
Cambridge has got to be the highlight, surely. Yeah,
and me.
Kick a dog when it's down is great, but also when it's Newcastle, then even better. That was
great. It's amazing, isn't it, how Newcastle have, in the space of 2 months, become a very heavily disliked club, which is well, actually, no, I probably shouldn't say that on a podcast, but I feel like the media is against them now. And when you see a club get beaten by a minnow, it's obviously really, really exciting.
Yeah, loved it. Right, let's talk about game week picks. We talked about goalkeepers loads in our last episode because we did a Q&A. Has anyone got anything to add on goalkeepers that we didn't talk about last time? Last time we went really big on Saar. I briefly mentioned Ramsdale. Anyone got anything to add going into game week 22?
I think it's worth mentioning the keepers with a double, because we didn't know there was going to be a double at that point, right? Or yeah, the picture was still being kind of defined. But I do think there are a few interesting picks. And one thing that I wanted to point out is a lot of people seem to be talking about Watford from a defensive perspective, and I think it's a massive trap.
Yep.
So if you look at how many goals they conceded recently, they've conceded two or more in four of their last five games. So for all those people thinking, let's get a Watford defender in or let's get a Watford keeper, I'd be careful, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Mm. Yeah. Nick, have you got any lines from 90s rappers? Was that 90s?
Hello, we're Bad Boys for Life.
Yes, yes, we are. they remade that. Who knew?
There's another one. There's a new one out, isn't there?
With
I
us,
watched
to
it
starring.
The other day. I watched it.
Was it good?
It was quite similar to the first one, actually, except for Will Smith was a lot older and the other guy looked a lot plumper. So anything else on goalkeepers, Greg?
Nah, I think it's a free hit this week, or just for a one game week in isolation. For me, it's got to be Saar. Still very, very underowned at 5.4% as of last night.
So you prefer Saar on a single game week over any of the doublers?
I don't.
If you're on a free hit.
Yeah, free hit. Only David De Gea, but I think I would go elsewhere for Man United in defence on a free hit. But that's the only one that really entices me. Nothing. I mean, the fixtures are pants anyway, and I don't. Those doubles aren't any sexy teams. And the only one maybe you consider maybe Arrizabaglia for Chelsea, but that's a stinky double they've got.
I'm vibing off Sanchez. I think although they haven't been the best defensively this season, they're very good at containing teams. And I think Palace and Chelsea isn't actually as bad as it looks on paper. I wouldn't expect them to get two clean sheets by any stretch, but I think they'll keep it to a low scoring affair in both games. And Sanchez loves getting save points. So I think that's quite an interesting selection if you're on a free hit.
My reason being was I can see Palace and Chelsea both scoring, so therefore Sanchez is going to have to get absolutely peppered to make it worthwhile.
But I think I'd still rather have Sanchez than Saar in this game week.
Chelsea are really interesting for me, going back to what you just said a minute ago. They beat Man City three times last season, and they're not in bad form. Everybody keeps saying, oh, Chelsea aren't all that at the moment. They've not lost in their last 10 games in all competitions. And I can't help but thinking there's a chance, given that City have been hit really badly with COVID, that they could do okay. And then that Brighton fixture doesn't strike me as being, you know, horrendous. Brighton notoriously aren't great in front of goal. I'd be very tempted to have a look if I was on free hit at potentially Alonso. I haven't looked across the board at Chelsea's fitness, but Alonso would maybe be the one that sticks out the most to me. Although, interestingly, Greg, I saw you sent through a free hit team and you were looking at Azpilicueta. Is that because you're thinking he's going to play right wing back?
Yeah, or just surety of starts in that defence. Two quick games before they travel out to the FIFA World Club Cup. I'd rather that maybe over Alonso, maybe one game, maybe one and a half. But there wasn't too much thought process behind it aside from that. But I do think you're right. I think unless you're on a free hit, I wouldn't target Chelsea because of the fixtures and the blank game weeks that come after it. But on free hit, I would absolutely have a little dabble with them.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but has anyone seen Tuchel watching Alonso play football. He obviously thinks he's absolutely awful. Every time he does anything, he's like throwing his head up, his hands up in the air, like he's livid. Like, I feel like if he could drop him, he would. He just doesn't have any choice at the moment. But like, he doesn't seem to rate him, which is kind of slightly concerning.
Spurs have been really good at the back. They've got the double, but also they're playing against two really good attacking teams. And without Son, I'm a bit concerned about what Spurs might do. So normally I'd be all over that defence for Spurs because it has been so good. I think it's really weird what Conte's doing at the moment, because I don't know if it's just something he's doing in public and behind the scenes he's like, ha, I'm fooling everybody. But in public he's like, I'm really sorry, all of the supporters. This team, pretty awful, actually. There's loads of work to do. They're absolutely terrible.
But do you know what's interesting about that? He's doing exactly what Mourinho did. Mourinho was coming out saying the same stuff, but he's doing a bit more glibly than Jose did.
He doesn't specifically point out a particular player, which is what Mourinho will do. He will absolutely hammer one person in the team and hang them out to dry. Whereas Conte's a bit more like, the reason he's doing it is obviously because he wants some cash from the board. I don't know, maybe he's really, really clever. I think he just thinks the squad's pretty rubbish, to be honest. Yeah. Anyone got anyone in defence? Nick, who are you thinking about at the back?
I struggled to find a defender that I really liked this week. And I think United are a bit of a basket case. So this is always going to be a bit tricky to find the gems in there. But they have been conceding, but not loads of goals. They seem to just concede a goal a game every week. And I don't think that double is actually as daunting. So they've got Villa and they've got Brentford, both away from home. Luke Shaw has actually been looking quite good the last couple of games since he's come back in. As I said, it's quite hard to find the players in that side who you would really want. But I think on a free hit, I'd be looking at Luke Shaw as someone who's probably pretty lowly owned and won't be that well owned going into the game week, but could return if United get a bit of form. As I said earlier, I was tempted by Watford initially, just purely on the fixtures. When I started looking into it, I definitely think you should swerve them if you can.
Yeah, I think Villa and Brentford are fairly low down as well in terms of XG over the last however many. So I think, you know, if you're stats-based, then yes, United could be a great way to go. How about you, Greg, at the back? What are you thinking?
For defence, I've actually gone for another single game weaker. And I've gone for Robertson, 7 million, 2.3% owned. They're at home to Brentford. I think with the uncertainty around Trent, and we know he's got COVID, how badly that's affected him, don't know. Will he be able to return instantly and be at full Trent, Alexander-Arnold tilt? I don't know. So I started looking at Robertson and I was surprised to see how well he has actually been playing. I think we all just get so blinded by how amazing Trent is as an FPL asset that we forget that Robertson is bloody good as well. And the last six Premier League games that he's played, he's returned in five of them. So 43 points, averaging just over 7 points a game in that period. That's fantastic return for someone over a six-week period. Obviously, he had a bonkers game where he got the goal, assist and a red card last match. But last time that Liverpool played Brentford, it was that 3-3 absolute barnstorming game where it was just completely bonkers. But that Brentford side is devoid of sort of the confidence it had at the start of the season. They've been plagued by numerous injuries. And yes, the Liverpool team is much changed that we'll be facing them this weekend as well. But I fancy Robertson to continue his attack and returns this game week, and I would put him in on a free hit.
He was really good in the FA Cup. The positions that he was taking up in the FA Cup were, I mean, really positive from an FPL perspective. In midfield, I think Arsenal will beat Spurs. I think Arteta's managed to do it against Spurs previously a couple of times. Spurs without Son, massively concerning. So I think Saka and Martinelli are both good shouts. But I think Madison is still the one I would go for. Four double digits in his last six. That Leicester team, we spoke about this on our WhatsApp. And when we went through it, I was like, okay, Vardy's out. Iheanacho's at the African Cup of Nations. And Didi's away. They've got injuries all over the shop. But again, in the FA Cup, even though the squad was reduced, he still delivered. He's a man in form, and there aren't too many of those, especially at that price. I also think, and I think you made a great point on WhatsApp, Greg, and he was really good at the weekend and took up some really advanced positions and is on penalties. I think Tielemans is also a really good shout. But I love Madison, and he's been really good to us already this season.
I love Madison.
Is he your pick for midfield for the week, Nick, or would you go for someone?
No, well, I'm actually going for a bit more of a fun pick in midfield. As you said, Leicester, no true recognised strikers right now, unless you count Perez as a striker. And that's the kind of weird stuff that gets me excited. So Harvey Barnes and Perez are likely going to be playing high at the pitch. And Barnes is the more consistent first teamer. And I think we discussed this on WhatsApp. On WhatsApp.
Where's it?
Oh, another 90s reference. On WhatsApp. And I think he could be the one Leicester player with real explosive out-of-position potential this week. And those fixtures aren't that bad. They've got Spurs, who, as you said, Ads, could be a bit questionable at the back at the moment. And then they've got Burnley, who haven't been great at all this season. I think Maddison is the sensible pick. But if you're looking for something a little bit spicy, I think Barnes is your man.
Who are you saying, Greg?
I've gone for your favourite and someone that we talked about last week, and I actually talked about as well for Chelsea, and that's Mason Mount. 7.7 million, 22.6% owned. I won't repeat myself in talking about how sort of consistent he has been. That was covered last week, but I do fancy them to get the result against Brighton, and therefore anything he gets against City is a bit of a bonus for me. And I think Chelsea, they're not as bad as that everyone's been talking about. And I think definitely second half of the first half against Liverpool, they were really good. They've had some really good moments against top opposition recently as well. So I wouldn't be... And look, Mount's actually quite a big time player as well. Big game player. And I wouldn't be surprised if he actually gets some sort of attack and return out of those two games coming up against City and Brighton.
Up front, hello, my little nasty girl. Ronaldo, pull your G-string down south. Well,
what?
It's just the 90s rap reference. It doesn't really fit in any way, but it was just on my mind. It was the only one I could think of. Ronaldo, my little nasty girl, would be the one for me this week. I think he's the only person who's captaincy material. I know you dropped in our WhatsApp group, Greg, that he might have an injury, but I think so many managers are doing this around the FA Cup. Oh yeah, he's got a little knock. Yeah, you just don't want to play him in a competition you don't care about. Come on. You know, when it comes down to the Premier League, Ronaldo will be fit. And he is the biggest player with the biggest upside to play this week. And whether or not we free hit or don't, I want Ronaldo in the team.
Interesting. He's not actually been that great away from home, though, this season.
That is the only thing. But, you know, just one double digit across those two games, he's worth having. And he's got the potential where it could be in both games. And so, you know, for me... That's G-string down south material, Matt.
So I was looking... It was Ronaldo all day for me initially, and then I started thinking about Harry Kane. And...
Oh, I like the way you whispered it. It was so naughty.
It's unlikely... Well, you could probably get them both on a...
That's the way Nick talks when he goes to the butcher and gets the under-the-counter meat. I've come in for the special
pork loin.
The stuff that Lacazette gets.
The badger. going back to what I was saying, I think Ronaldo is an obvious one this week. His away form does deter me slightly, but I think, as you say, he doesn't need to do much for 180 minutes of football to get on the score sheet. I did think, though, that Harry Kane is an interesting alternative. I'm a bit annoyed that Son is out because I think it definitely diminishes Harry Kane's value in that side. But Arsenal and Leicester, two teams that, I mean, Arsenal were quite good defensively at the start, like towards the start of the season, but they've not been so great recently. Leicester have been awful defensively. And I think the fixtures are a bit deceptive on paper. When you look at them on the FPL fixture difficulty rating, I think there's probably like a red and a, what's the middle one? Red and a grey or whatever. I think he has got potential and he's got three attacking returns in his last four. And we've fallen into this trap this season already. I know we have in our team, but I do think he could be an interesting alternative to Ronaldo. Or go for the, you know, both barrels, get them both in.
Do you know what? Kane's record against Leicester, 17 goals in 16 games.
Jesus.
He was there on loan, was terrible. And since then, he's been like, yeah, see what I'm going to do now? And then against Arsenal, 11 goals in 14 games. And that's not even counting any assists. I don't know what the assists are.
Not many people go for him. I think you might get a few people doing it on free hit, but I don't think he's going to be highly owned. I just worry who's going to pass him the ball. That'll be my main concern.
I think Watford strikers as well, with those two fixtures, Norwich and Newcastle are so bad at the back. I mean, so, so bad. And I think Dennis would be the one to go for me, because he just has scored more goals recently. And we brought King in and I hated it. And he's been absolute turd for us ever since. Greg, anyone that you'd like to add up front?
Yeah, I agree with what you're both saying about Kane and Ronaldo. I think if you free hit in this week, I think it's probably wise to get both in on a free hit. And it's what I would advocate anyway. But then it's like, who do you go for that third striker slot? And I think you then have to make a decision between a Watford attacker or, and this is my other option, Cavani. Because, I mean, if you look at what Ralph, obviously first name terms, me and Ralph, Ralph has come out and said recently, he's just committed himself to Man United for the rest of the season. He's definitely someone who will play the pressing game that he needs and wants to impose. Those two games, I think, for the one of the bigger, so-called bigger sides, they've got a tastier fixtures than everyone else. And I think he's got potential to pick up some under-the-radar attacking returns. And look, it's a punt, and I'm not saying this is a surefire thing, but it's a differential that if it works, it could be glorious. But
do you think he'll get 180 minutes? Or do you think...
I think he'll play both games, yeah, because I think he sets the tone up front for what he wants that Man United team to be doing from an energy level, body language level, positivity pressing, all that sort of stuff. And I think he will be playing the majority of the games for the rest of the season.
How many times in your life have you used the phrase surefire thing?
I'm a sure thing, baby.
Surefire thing. Greg, give me a surefire differential of the week, man.
Differential of the week.
Well.
How good. Oh.
Didn't sound good.
My lungs have been missing that.
That was one of the worst I've heard.
Differentials owned by 5% of teams, according to us, or fewer, and cost £8 million or less. So we're going to have to go all the way back to game week 19 for the last time that we did this, because Nick took a sabbatical over Christmas and it just didn't work without him. So Greg was at the top of the league with 80. I had 54. Nick had 38. Last time out, back in game week 18, these were the points. Dallow played against Norwich. That was Greg's pick. Got him 5 points. Picked up an assist. I had Wilson. Got 2 points against Leicester. Barnes got you 6 points, Nick, against Newcastle. So you are
actually
now on four... What?
Ashley Barnes or Harvey Barnes?
Which Barnes did you want? I wouldn't go for Ashley because I don't think he got you any points.
I'll go Harvey Barnes.
I would go Harvey Barnes because he got you 6 points. Yeah, I wouldn't go for the other one. Yeah, bad decision. So yeah, 44 points, Nick. Adam, 56. Greg, 85.
Wow. Come on.
Nick, who are you going for?
Well, I was going to go for Harvey Barnes, but I feel a bit disgraceful doing it twice. I was going to go for the ultra differential Perez at 5 million and 0.1% owned, but I'm just going to stick with Barnes.
I'm interjecting here. No way can you have the same differential the week 2 weeks in a row. Not happening.
To be fair to me, I didn't. It's that long ago. I didn't know I picked Barnes before. But fine, I will have to go Perez. I was on the fence about him anyway, so I'll go Perez.
There you go. Good.
Iosi Perez probably is the biggest differential that anyone has ever selected at 0.1% owned. I almost want that to happen as much as you are slightly close to me in this league table. I don't want you to catch me. I have decided that I need a hero. This decision is massively laced with emotion because Lucas Moura, for me, has been criminally underrated by Spurs. And he was magic for us in that run to the Champions League. And he's going to have increased responsibility with Son out. Spurs need someone. Kane's going to go wild for us and for Spurs against Leicester and Arsenal when he's going to create the goals. So at 6.5 mil and 4.6% owned, I'm going to go for Lucas Moura.
He's your Enrique Iglesias.
Yes. Yes.
He can be your hero.
Baby.
Can you sing it for me, please?
Lucas Moura, be my hero. Can you take away the pain? And I will stand by you forever if you... Do you want me to keep going?
No, that's glorious.
You weren't expecting it.
It felt great. I want more.
It's actually off in the way with me, Nick.
May we have it off air?
You and me can have it off air.
Yes, please.
Gregory.
I've gone for Pulisic, 7.9 million, 0.8% owned. I think he's been playing a bit more consistently recently, and he got a goal against Liverpool last time, which, let's be honest, was his only attack and return he's had since game week 12. So I'm throwing a little bit more shit against the wall, and hopefully it's going to stick.
I was just going to say, I love the way that you emphasised poo in Pulisic. Yeah. Greg's thrown some Pulisic at the wall. I've gone Moura, and Nick has gone for Perez. Let's talk about our team. Big decision to make. Are we going to free hit this week? Do we not free hit? I kind of know what Greg's thinking because he sent it through on WhatsApp. Nick is playing it like poker, very close to the chest.
So I only decided this earlier. And my position...
During the podcast.
Yeah.
When Greg has sent through a team that you like the look of.
A couple of minutes ago. So, I mean, I don't know if you want to lay out what our team looks like for the listeners before I go through it, because I do think it's relevant to just help people understand what our situation is.
I will sing for you and I'll read for you. That's the kind of man I am tonight. Sanchez in goal, Reguilon, Cancelo, Trent and Soufal across the back, Bowen, Bernardo and Gray in midfield, Antonio, Calvert-Lewin and King up front, and on the bench, Son, Salah, Williams and Foster.
Thank you, sir. So, I was keen on the free hit until the Leicester-Everton game got postponed. And it got me thinking that there's all these doubles on paper, especially in the north of England at the moment. There's, you know, a big problem with COVID. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of those, or at least some of those doubles, got shifted again. And I would rather save both our free hits for when we know fixtures are going to take place, because surely that is just the logical thing to do. And none of the fixtures are really screaming out at me. I think, as we said earlier, the Watford fixtures on paper are really good. And there's a few other kind of little wins that you could probably squeak out from some of those fixtures, but nothing's making me think we've got to have, you know, 5, 6, 7 different players to those in our team right now. So my position right now is don't free hit, ride it, maybe take a -8 and just save that free hit for when we can be certain the games are going to go ahead and have better fixtures.
You know, you're a serious FPL player when you bring geography into it. That's what I loved about that in particular. So what would your intended moves be this week? I mean, with everything being the way that things are, because obviously things could change dramatically.
Yeah, so I think the outstanding issues in our squad are Son, Salah, Trent maybe, all injured or away. And I then looked at who I think are the big misses from our squad based on, you know, all the doubles going ahead. And I think that would be Madison and Kane and Ronaldo. So I was going to listen to your boys' perspective and just understand what those priorities are for you. But then two of those three, I would like to be in our team. And I think we can do that with 8 hits. With 2 hits.
Yeah, let's not take 8 hits. That'd be a bit much. So I think I'm thinking 3 hit. Because I think I think a lot of people this week will take an 8-point hit. If we can just get a 10-point margin on top of that, plus the 8 points, we're looking at an 18-point jump, which sees us jump probably about 150k in rank. So we could probably jump up to somewhere close to around 200k. That's a pretty considerable jump. It's a free hit that we didn't have anyway. So we're then only playing with the chips that we thought we would have. We've still got the free hit, another one if we need it. Son and Salah are taking up so much value in our squad, and that is a problem. But also, Salah and Son take up the value, but the players that you probably want this week are strikers. Oh, you want Ronaldo. So you're going to have to take at least an 8-point hit. I just think we can make a massive jump. I think that's my major thing. And maybe, you know, it's burning a bit of a hole in my pocket. So, you know, I'm prepared to be told otherwise.
My thoughts on what to do this week. All right, so I'm all for the free hit. And the reason's almost like a counter-argument to Nick, really. I think given the state of where so many teams are at with injuries, COVID, form, and what the opportunity then presents to us, which Adam was talking about utilising that free hit in terms of an easy points gain of just 8 to 10 points without doing anything anyway, I think is a better way to navigate the uncertainty of game week 22 without having to rip up our squad at the same time. And I think the thing for me that I think is interesting as well is, like, we've got someone like Son, who we know actually can be quite a quick healer of injuries. And Conte was quite evasive in terms of what he did say. I think he might be out for a couple of weeks. It's a hamstring injury of some sort or whatever it was. Well, we know he can return quickly from them. He has done it previously. And rather than using a transfer to get him out and then you want to get him back in again anyway, let's ride out game week 22, which is going to be quite a long game week anyway. It gives him time to recover. And if he's back in, brilliant. Trent, if he's back in again, you don't want to get him out, even better. So for me, I think the best way to navigate the craziness right now of what's going on would be to use that free, the extra free hit chip that we were given and to use it now.
I did put together, based on what you put together, Greg, and what I was thinking, somewhere of a hybrid. Okay. And I think I've found a way of getting Bowen, Jota, Madison and Mount into midfield with Ronaldo and Kane up front. It's a Man United at the back. So I'll just drop that into the group. I mean, it's an interesting one because we can't make any decisions at the moment because fixtures might change.
Yeah.
There might be more cancellations. There almost certainly will be one or two that will drop off.
But I think it's important for us to maybe at least discuss now the must-haves for the week. And, like, they're the people that, okay, all being well, they go into our free hit team and then we can almost work out who then is the supporting cast around them. So I think straight away the question is, who is that third striker? I think if we all go free hit, which two of us out of the three want to do, then we're all happy with Ronaldo and Kane. Who is that third striker? Is it King? Is it Dennis? Or is it Cavani?
I think Dennis.
Dennis, for me, straight away would be the one I would go for. As with any team that you're putting together, there are sacrifices. And if you are going for Ronaldo and Kane, there are significant sacrifices. So the sacrifices that I made, although I didn't necessarily enjoy them, were I couldn't fit Dennis in if we were going to have the midfield of Bowen, Jota, Madison, Mount, right? So I would go for Dennis, definitely.
Well, we could downgrade Varane that you put in to Shaw, save us all that money and upgrade King to a Dennis. If Dennis is fit, I don't know if he's fit from his injury, he got taken off at half-time.
How much is Shaw these days?
5 million or something, isn't he?
Okay, I think it's five or five. We seem to definitely be saying Ronaldo and Kane.
Yeah.
We definitely seem to like Madison and Jota. Is that additional midfielder, really?
I think I'm happy. I think Mount, for me, just because of the double game week, it makes sense to have Mount in.
It's a nice opportunity to get Mount as well, because if, you know, as you said, they're going away after this week, so be good to have one last hurrah from Mount.
The question is then, you've chosen Bowen. I know you just hashed this together just now, but I would rather maybe a Martinelli or a Saka over a Bowen. Although Leeds are completely decimated again this weekend. Llorente is obviously banned for the game, so that's even worse for us. But
yeah, I mean, I think Arsenal win, but it's one of those that's based purely on opinion. And it's heavily laced with Spurs and my team, and I am a bit of a negative Spurs fan. Mm. Whereas Bowen is in juicy form and is playing against the Leeds team that are decimated. So, I was really just playing the statistically, he's more likely to score. I really do like Arsenal. The other thing is, I have been quite short-term in my thinking. I haven't really looked ahead to game week 23, at which point our squad potentially is still going to be in a right pickle.
Yeah, but then we can navigate that with the 8-point hit that we need to then, with probably a bit of better fixture and knowledge of what's going on with players and stuff.
There'll be more certainty then.
Yeah, I'm not too fussed about next, like, game week 23. I think we could use, that's a problem for next week. I mean, there is a bit of a pickle in that squad, but we can sort that out.
If we're free hitting though, and this is just my personal preference, I like to have as many double game week players as we can. So surely we're better looking at, you know, some other options outside of Bowen. I know that fixture is really good, but like Leeds, West Ham at the weekend, I know it's in the cup, but I didn't really get the impression he was going to score a hat trick, right? So do you not think that's just going to be a bit of a waste of a slot if we just get a one, and it's, especially an Arsenal player against Spurs, I'm not sure I'd really fancy an Arsenal player over another midfielder with a double. I don't know who that player is, but...
Are you angling for Perez to be in our squad?
Maybe, or Barnes, or maybe...
Pulisic.
Maybe Trossard.
I wasn't a huge fan of some of the double fixtures, so that's why I haven't gone there. More than anything, I've just gone for the more form players.
That's a really pertinent point. I think sometimes you can all get so blinded by the doubles, and actually, when you look at form and fixture and squad strength going into this game week, that you've got to take that into consideration. So Bowen, I would still have ahead of a Trossard. Or, but again, look, we can do all this boring chat off piste, but yeah,
off piste. Yeah, I think that's the saying. I think you've got that one nailed in. Yeah, that was on time.
It just looks so nice when you've got a team full of doublers, though.
Yeah,
I don't care what anyone says. It's not practical, and it's often not sensible. But it looks great.
Yes,
just before the game week starts.
Yeah, until one gets cancelled about 2 days beforehand. Yeah. Captain, right? I think this is the big thing this week. Irrespective of a free hit or whether you just take a 8-point hit or you take 8 transfers, as Nick said, right? Captain, who are you liking this week for captain?
It's got to be Ronnie, hasn't it?
That's the player that we need to get in the team. So if we're going to take a -8, you know, that's the comparison. At the minute, I think I'm on the side of free hit, but there's conversations to be had.
Now you've both made very compelling arguments, and I was umming and ahhing before anyway, but I think you're right. There's a huge opportunity in gaining ground over people who aren't using that free hit. I'm swayed.
Nick, is there anything else that you need me to do for you at the end of the podcast? I've done some reading and some singing. Is there anything I can do in your year of joy? 2022, the year of joy.
Can you make some nice faces for me?
That's not going to work so well on the podcast.
Great for a podcast, that, Nick.
Can you record some nice sounds for me just to go to sleep to?
Okay, yes, I can. I'll have that ready for you for the next podcast, yeah.
Thank you.
You're a strong, confident woman. Another 90s reference.
Another 90s reference.
Get me out of this decade. Come on. I'm in a 90s rabbit hole right now.